the Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. You know, I was talking last hour about this apparition movie, and I've gotten a bunch of messages from people who are saying, I bought this thing just for the features, and even our friend Patty said that the features are better than the apparition movie. Isn't that right, Shelley?
That's right.
Even though we have not seen that ourselves yet, we will be watching it soon. So much to talk about. Let's get started with this. I think you'll find this interesting. Try to imagine this. Earth is 4.5 billion years old. But here's what happened 450 billion years ago. Long before living cells squirmed in the vast darkness of space, a magnificent planet floated between Mars and Jupiter. Now, that was around 300 million miles away. In a cosmic explosion, this unknown planet was destroyed, leaving nothing but an eerie asteroid belt lingering in space. Now, no one knows what caused this calamity, but the power was so immense that bits of molten rock soared through space at terrific speeds. Now, our brains cannot fully comprehend the journey of these rocks. I mean, for billions of years, they sped in the cold blackness. Most of them will travel forever, never landing. But amazingly, in May of the year 1516, a small but fiery storm of them rained down in China. Now, we read of this on fragile papers, ancient recordings from confused witnesses. And when early investigators visited the site, they found a selection of weird stones strewn across a desolate hill. They had no idea what had happened. At the time, it was thought impossible for stones to fall from the sky. But they had, in fact, discovered a rare and cherished field of meteorites. Now, some stones were collected as a mere novelty, kept in storage for almost 500 years. And now that scientific knowledge has explained the origin, they are suddenly sought after in great demand. So, my team and I purchased a tiny collection of these rare stones, and quickly realized their value as both scientific evidence and aesthetic prizes. So our little collection has been crafted into jewelry, a true extraterrestrial monument to be carried by those who understand its meaning. So your mind will be boggled as you consider how long this little meteorite traveled through the vastness of outer space, subjected to forces we cannot know, and yet you will know exactly where it finally landed, around your neck. So truly, this will connect you to the cosmos for all time. You can't make these. Once they're sold, they're gone. If you want one, buy one now. What a great Christmas gift. They come with a signed certificate of authenticity. Go to cosmicartifacts.com. Believe it or not, you can get these starting at $26.95. Cosmicartifacts.com. We'll have that linked up at speakingofstrange.com as well. See there? That's the first thing on my list of things that you should buy from my company, making a great Christmas gift. And you actually have one of these, don't you, Shelley?
I do.
Yeah. So,
yes.
You know, the funny thing is, some people who have bought these meteorite pendants, they claim that when they wear them outside, they look up and they see more UFOs. And I have actually been out in the field with night vision goggles, and I've worn a little pendant, and you see, it's true, you see weirder, stranger things Is there a connection? Is it coincidence? I'm not sure. But very cool gift. So go check out CosmicArtifacts.com. Pretty neat, huh?
Yes.
And what a story. What a story. See, that's a great commercial. It was interesting. You get history, you get science, you get art, and it all is a Christmas gift advertisement. But let me tell you guys about my new app, which only costs 99 cents. This is one of these gifts you should buy for yourself, actually. And here's what makes the app so interesting. The story really begins about 3,000 years ago. All of my products begin thousands of years, billions of years into the past. About 3,000 years ago, ancient Greece was kind of strewn, well, not strewn, but there were a few of these little places that we now call oracles. And these were places that you could go if you wanted to have a spiritual experience. If you wanted to foretell the future, try to contact the dead. And the oracle that was most famous was in a little rugged town called Ephyra, Greece. And so if you traveled to the oracle at Ephyra, it was a big deal because this was way out in the country. And, I mean, you had to really want to go there and contact somebody dead to make this pilgrimage out here into the wilderness. And if you went there, you would find that the oracle was actually a large underground chamber. And let's say, for example, we have some woman who wants to contact her dead husband because she didn't have those last 5 minutes with him then to tell him goodbye. So the woman would go to the oracle, and there she would meet a priest. And the first thing the priest would do is sit down with her and sort of evaluate her mentally and ask her, why do you want to do this? You know, why do you want to contact this apparition, this spirit? And if she seemed of the right mindset, she seemed fit, then a process would begin. The priest would make sure that she was divested of all distractions, dressed in a simple robe. She would live maybe for a week in isolation in a small chamber. And the whole time she was there, she would dwell on her husband. And usually the people who would go to the oracle would bring belongings that were possessions of a loved one. So she might say, well, here was his dagger, here was a ring he wore, whatever. So for days, if not weeks, the woman would sit there only, surviving on, minimal food and water and just thinking as much as possible about the dead one. And finally, the priest would recognize when she was ready to go to the next phase. And at that point, the priest would point down a dark corridor, only lit by flickering torchlight, and say, now you're on your own. You walk down that corridor, and eventually you will find a cauldron. Look into the cauldron, stare into the cauldron patiently, and you'll get what you came for. So the woman would go down the corridor, and when she found the cauldron, it was a highly polished metal cauldron full of water to produce a nice reflective surface. And she would stare into the water by the flickering torchlight. And gradually, odd sort of effects would emerge, swirling shadows, weird lights. And then she would eventually see the face of her dead husband in the water. But then something astounding would happen. Then that face in the water would transform, and he would rise from the cauldron and step forth as a fully physical, three-dimensional figure. And at that point, she would have a full-on, tangible experience with this, corporeal manifestation of her dead husband. And it would be this cathartic scenario in which she would, purge herself of whatever was bothering her, whatever she needed to say, And then when all was done, the man would turn around and he would vanish back into the cauldron or the darkness again, and the deed was accomplished. Now, we fast forward thousands of years up into the 1970s. In the 1970s, a friend of ours, Dr. Raymond Moody, who is an extremely intelligent, very sensitive, thoughtful man, so smart that by the time he was 30 years old, he had two PhDs. He wrote a book in the 70s called Life After Life, and it was based upon his experience as an MD working with people who had had near-death experiences. And in fact, Dr. Moody coined that term, near-death experience, as well as other phrases that we often speak of, like the tunnel of light and that kind of imagery. So this book, Life After Life, came out. Well, it's a big, huge hit, bestseller. It did so well that the publisher said to Dr. Moody, okay, now for your next book, hey, you have carte blanche, do whatever you want. Well, Dr. Moody has always been an ancient Greek scholar, you know, or a scholar of ancient Greece, I should say. And so he was fascinated with this idea of these oracles, what are actually called psychomantiums. Psycho meaning of the mind, and mantium being display. It was originally mantion, corrupted into the English word mantium, but basically a place where the mind is put on display. So Dr. Moody wondered if these stories about these psychomantiums, this oracle, if these were to be taken literally or figuratively. So he traveled to Greece. He went down into all of these ruins. He looked at the structure. He pored over these very specific documents with eyewitness accounts. And he got the impression that the people who were having these experiences really believed that this was what it was said to be, that this was not something that was allegorical. So he became so curious about this, Dr. Moody decided to create a little experiment back in the States to see if he could take the circumstances of the psychomantium and modernize them and kind of condense them into a simpler setup, a simpler arrangement. And he got a bunch of college students to volunteer to participate with this. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I will tell you what Dr. Moody did, and then I will tell you how that what he found and what I learned from him ended up being further minimized into your cell phone. Taking the technology of the psychomantium and adapting it to the 21st century. It's a good one. Stick around for this. We're talking about interesting things that you might want to add to your Christmas wish list. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Day.
Sir Forrest Conner, why do you think I picked this bumper music? Can you figure it out? What's the connection?
I know what the connection is.
What is it?
Looking Glass.
Yeah, there you go. See? I'm always one step ahead of the audience. I bet you didn't know this was by a band called Looking Glass, did you?
No.
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about. Through the Looking Glass, the Psychomantium, the place where the mind is on display, reaching perhaps the dead. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We're broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. Dr. Raymond Moody came back from Greece. And he looked at the components of the Psychomantium, and he figured he would minimize them and reproduce them and try to go through a similar process preparing the students to go into the Psychomantium. So what he did was he would take a student, especially if it was somebody who was in the grieving process. They needed to have this experience. And he would give them an extensive interview and discussion about, you know, who do you want to contact, and go over all the details. What is your most vivid memory? What did you like about them most? What did you like about them least, et cetera, et cetera, until finally the person had imagined the deceased one so clearly that the person was now mentally prepared to go into this very unusual setting. Dr. Moody realized that when the student at that point would go into a dark room and sit in a comfortable chair facing a large mirror that was slightly above eye level with a nice dim light in the background and maybe some white noise playing, that the same experience would occur. Now, we're talking about having it, you know, lit properly so that you go in, and at first when you turn out the lights, it looks black, and then your eyes adjust to the light that's there. And you can blink, but you just keep your gaze on the mirror, the nice, dark surface of the mirror. And people would come out of there in tears and say, oh my God, this worked, you know. They would see the loved one, and then the loved one would actually emerge from the mirror. Same thing the Greeks were talking about. Now, how does this work? Why does this work? Nobody is sure. But even if it's no different than a dreamlike state that you go into, well, dreams seem just as real as anything else at the time they're happening, so that's what's important. So Dr. Moody, he pioneered the modernization of the Psychomantium technique, and he traveled around the world explaining this to people. He wrote a great book about it called Reunions that came out in the early 80s. I highly recommend that book. And I was so intrigued with all this that I invited Dr. Moody to come to Western North Carolina and do a workshop with myself and some of my friends and colleagues. You participated in this far. Mm-hmm. And learn the Psychomantium technique directly from him. And we had a wonderful experience, and since then, I have been a big proponent of the Psychomantium. I started out by putting one in my guest bedroom at my house, and it was so effective that at one point, a friend came over and brought a lady friend with him, and she knew nothing about the Psychomantium. But I didn't even plant any suggestions in her mind. I said, why don't you just go into that room for a little bit and sit? And she went into the room. 20 minutes later, I came back to get her, and sure enough, she's sitting there in tears. She said, how did you do that? She says, how did you do that? And I said, well, what happened to you? And she said, no, really, how did you do that? And I told her, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Turns out, her grandmother had raised her, and she had been out of town when her grandmother died unexpectedly, and she didn't have that closure. And she said, she's looking at this mirror, and all of a sudden, Grandma appears. Grandma emerges from the mirror. She's sitting there stunned, of course. Grandma walks up, puts her arms around her, hugs her, and whispers, you know how much I love you. And then Grandma turns and fades back into the darkness. These are the kinds of experiences that can happen when you are in this setting. So we have always had psychomantiums. We had a psychomantium at our previous lab location. We had it at the museum when it was in the old jail building. I recently have set up a new psychomantium at our new museum location, which the students who recently took my classes got to utilize and get a taste of the psychomantium. And which, by the way, our museum, it's available year round. We still do ghost hunts. We're even doing tours, even in the cold weather. Hauntedasheville.com, if you're interested. Hauntedasheville.com. So I started thinking about this and how that, you know, really everything nowadays centers around a cell phone. You know, the cell phone is the core of life for so many of us. And so I began to experiment with how a similar effect could be achieved with a cell phone. And I kind of taught myself how to work with this app technology. And the bottom line is I created this app called Ghost Psycho. And it is a very simple way of transforming your telephone into a psychomantium. Essentially, right now it's only on Android. We're eventually going to try to get it on the iPhone stuff, but for now it's only Android. And for one thing, you turn your phone settings so that your phone doesn't shut off automatically. And you go into a dark room by yourself. You put the cell phone in front of you. On kind of maybe a little elevated position. Just go into the bathroom, sit on the toilet, put it on the counter, whatever. It works. You hit the button, a perfectly designed and illuminated black mirror-like screen appears. There is a very particular type of white noise that plays, and you just sit there and you relax, and you just look at that screen. Again, you can blink. Just keep your eyes on the screen. And I'll be darned if the same exact thing doesn't begin to happen that happens in regular psychomantiums. So the way I look at it is, Dr. Moody looked at the ancient Greek psychomantium, which was a big, elaborate, complex system, and he reduced it down to a simpler format, which worked just as well. And now I've reduced it from Dr. Moody's down to an even smaller, simpler format, using 21st century cell phone technology. So, if you want to download Ghost Psycho, it costs 99 cents. Now, honestly, I was going to put it out there for free, and then I realized if you put these apps out for free, advertisements pop up. And you can't be sitting there trying to focus in a psychomantium situation with ads popping up on the screen. So, it's only 99 cents. You download the thing, it's got all the instructions, and try it out for yourself. You can go to ghostpsycho.com and find more information, or just go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com. Download Ghost Psycho, and I think this will be the first of many apps. And as far as I know, it's the very first psychomantium app that has ever been produced, making a little bit of history. What do you think about that, Forrest?
Pretty neat. Pretty neat. Yeah, I was playing with it earlier in the day, and I mean, like you said, it's amazing how it emulates what Dr. Moody set up, and like the whole big elaborate setup that he had you now have in the palm of your hand.
It's incredible, and it goes to show it's all about that effect. You know, it's you can do it in a lot of different ways, but if you get the effect just right, it's all the same. Ghost Psycho, but that's. You can't really give that to somebody as a Christmas gift. You have to buy that for yourself, right? How do you buy somebody an app as a Christmas gift?
I mean,
I guess you just
could take their cell phone and put it on.
I tell you what you do. You get your buddy and you give him a dollar. You give your buddy a dollar and say, go download this. You're welcome.
No, I think there's stores where you can actually buy these gift cards.
Oh, is that right?
Like Google Play gift cards, if I'm not mistaken, where you can say, hey, here's a $15 gift card. Go down road to Psychomantium app 15 times if you want to. You can pass it on to some friends.
Okay, I love it. Even better. We're already up on a break. When we come back, I'll tell you about, I just shot a brand new video about the wishing machine. It's pretty cool. Maybe we can even play some of the audio off of it. We'll see what Forrest can put together during the break. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, telling you about some unique Christmas gifts that you should buy from me. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Hey, and the loud sound that seemed to fight. Came back like a slow voice on a wave of fight. That were no DJ, that was Hazy Cosmic Time. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he's so unmanned. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He knows not to know it, but he knows it's always what he's hoping. Let the children do that. Let the children do that. Let all the children do that.
Usual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange, coming at you from the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Hope you've got your pen and paper out and you're taking notes. But we will have a lot of these things we're talking about linked up for a while at speakingofstrange.com for your convenience. Speakingofstrange.com. You'll also find a live chat there during the program. And more links to topics discussed, including, probably Fuzzbucket. We'll try to get his picture up there. Don't forget hauntedasheville.com. Come see our museum. The spirits of Christmas are already swirling around. So here's a very odd Christmas gift. You've heard me talk about the wishing machine. It's so strange that it's hard to even explain. It's a very simple box with knobs and a special circuit inside, and it's designed to help transmit your intention. It doesn't have any batteries. It doesn't have any electrical wiring. I recently shot a new video trying to explain what the wishing machine is and how it works. So we'll play just a little bit of the beginning of that video for you. Here you go.
Imagine a box that can make your wishes come true, both good ones and bad ones. A simple, elegant interface between your brain, your consciousness, your desires, and the cosmos. Does it seem unbelievable? Do you know a man died in prison for discussing this? Do you know legal judgments have been passed against those who say it works? In the United States and abroad, offices have been raided and books have literally been burned for revealing what you will learn here. Is it good to share this knowledge? Or should this information be shrouded forever, hoarded by only a few? It's a box with simple knobs. There is an input and an output. Can this really work? Millions of people over the decades will tell you yes. It may be the holy grail of technology. It's weird in every way. A proper name eludes us, so we call it simply the wishing machine. I'm Joshua P. Warren. When I wrote the wishing machine,
there we go. There's a little sample.
I didn't know what to expect.
And if you want to watch the whole thing. And how could you not at this point? How could you not go to joshuapwarren.com? There's no period after the P. And you will find, just to know right there, you scroll down, it's toward the top, and there's a little ad. It says, radionics, wishing machine box, blah, 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 physical wishing machine, click here. Just go watch the whole video, and then I think you will want one of these for Christmas. What better gift than to give the gift of wishing? That's what our slogan should be, give the gift of wishing. Make your wishes come true. Actually, if you know, if you go to my website, there's all kinds of cool stuff. We still have some of the rubble from Dracula's castle in Romania. I've still got a little bit of that left. We've got those pendants. Now, how neat is that to give somebody? I mean, that's something you can't get anywhere else. Give somebody a little pendant with rubble from Dracula's castle. We throw in a laser grid. A certificate comes with that. Or you could go all out and show somebody you really love them and buy a Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home. The gift of power. the gift of convenience. I'm trying to take over the job for who is the guy who died? The
Billy Mays.
Billy Mays. Yeah, I want to be the Billy Mays pitch man, but I have a gentler approach. See, I'm not just demanding that you buy things. Well, you're sold, aren't you, Forrest?
I'm definitely sold.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting cold. It's getting dreary. Look at the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator, sunshinesimple.com. Now, of course, she's sitting over here listening to me sell these things. But actually, you know what? I got one more thing I got to tell everybody about. I have
couple. There's more.
I have currently two auctions on eBay right now. I think they're both going to end tomorrow. So if people are interested in that, you better hurry. We'll have that linked up for you. But basically, I took some rare books from my personal collection at my house and decided to finally, you know, let them go, give them to some fans. I have, and I know this sounds hard to believe, but I only personally have one first edition, first printing copy of Haunted Asheville. I myself. And I'm taking that one copy, just signed it. You get that book. You get a pre-release signed copy of How to Hunt Ghosts, a publisher's uncorrected proof. You probably have one of those, don't you, Forrest?
I do.
I gave you one of those back in the day. You get Haunted Asheville, first edition, first printing signed. You get a publisher's uncorrected proof of How to Hunt Ghosts signed. You get a mint condition interview with the vampire signed by Anne Rice, sealed. I've never even seen the autograph, but I know it's in there. But I don't want to open the book. It's mint condition. It's sealed. And a rare hardback copy of Stephen King's book Thinner that was published under the name Richard Bachman. It's one of the Bachman books. I got a little set of these four rare books. That's a pretty cool thing. You can keep the set or you can give them out one by one. The other thing that I have is an actual working script from a crew member on the set of Jurassic Park. And this is, it says, like, you know, confidential on the front. It's, every page is watermarked. It's embossed. I mean, this was top secret when that movie was being made. And so both those things are on eBay. And that I get it, I think that ends tomorrow for both of those. So I'm just really going all out here, providing all these goodies. Maybe it's because I know the world's going to end. So I'm just cashing in as much as possible. But you, Shelly, you've been sitting here listening to me talk about wishing machines and ghost psychos and sunshine simples, and you just have coins in your eyes, don't you?
I do. That is all I have seen.
Okay, well, you see what a good job I've done of pitching my wares. Let's see you do something great.
Oh, I can't come anywhere close to what you have done, truly. But, come see me at Wright's Coin Shop. Let me help you out. Find a little something-something for yourself or for your family. We have silver eagles. We have all kinds of other silver, gold. We just got new shipments of everything in. We have bought a huge coin collection that we are working up right now that will probably get put out bits and pieces over the next week or two. Supplies. We have everything. So come see us or call me at 828-298-5402 or come see me at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville and avoid the mall traffic.
828-298-5402.
Yes.
Or 1271 Sweeten Creek Road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have any, like, special Christmas coins?
The most popular thing that we sell in silver is silver eagles.
Mm-hmm. There's not, like, a coin with Santa on it.
Actually, I know. I've been in there before. I've seen some, like, some silver in there that Engelhard put out a few years ago, like one-ounce Christmas silver rounds and one-ounce Christmas silver bars. Over there before, and they just go for the price of just regular 999 silver, do they not?
Right. And I'm not sure if we're going to be getting any of those or not. I haven't heard anything, because they're... They're very popular. There's just so much to go through right now and figure out what all of our customers want.
Do you have anything with Rudolph on it? That's what
Sadly,
I want to know.
No.
Is there anything with Santa Claus stamped on it? A big Santa face?
I'm sure there is, but I don't know what it is.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is there really?
Probably.
You're just making that up now.
No, probably
there's
so.
There's a Santa face on a big silver coin?
Yeah, I think
okay.
so. I think there's one in our 999 box.
Really?
Probably, yeah.
So tell me about this coin that's got Santa's face on it, then.
Well, it is minted by a private mint. They
yeah.
can put anything they want to on silver,
uh-huh.
as long as they don't try and pass it off as a coin and mm-hmm. you know put some kind of denomination on it. Yeah, they can put Santa on it. And
is there a coin with baby Jesus on it?
Yes, I believe so.
So you got baby Jesus stamped on, she's going to hell, Forrest. She is carrying, what do you have? Forrest,
I've got your silver with Santa stamped on it right here.
See?
You see that? Right there. Can you?
I can see that. That's beautiful. He's a big Coca-Cola looking Santa Claus stamped on a nice bar of silver. So that's probably in your shop, huh?
Yes.
But you do have the Christ child stamped on something of monetary value.
I probably do.
Well, that's cool. So now, do you think people use coins like this as stocking stuffers?
They do.
Yeah, it really is a perfect stocking stuffer.
It is, and then once you start it, you can't ever stop because your family expects it from now on.
You just have to really nail that stocking on to the mantle.
Yes.
There you go, Mr. Warren.
Well, oh, look, it is. Baby Jesus is
baby
on silver.
Jesus.
Oh, man. Well, fair enough. God made silver, too. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I got a couple stories before we finish up this hour and move on to the Dark 30 hour. One of them is it's a Florida story about a guy and a horse. I know, it's not even Dark 30 yet, and I'm already talking about a guy and a horse. And then if we get around to it, it's a tragic story about a 407-pound woman. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to kind of, I guess we can almost call this like a holiday edition of Speaking of Strange. We'll be right back.
I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad. I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. Someone let me out of my cage. Now, time for me is nothing cause I'm counting no A's. Nah, I couldn't be there. Nah, you shouldn't be scared. I'm good at repairs and I'm under each snare. Intangible, bet you didn't think so. I command you to panoramic view. Look, I'll make it all manageable. Pick and choose, sit and lose. All you different crews, chicks and dudes. Who you think is really kicking tunes? Picture you getting down in a pit of tubes. Like you lit the fuse. You think it's fictional, mystical, maybe spiritual hero who appears in you to clear your view when you're too crazy. Life is the only definition for what life is. Priceless to you because I put you on the high shit to like it. Gun smoke, you're righteous with one. So you're psychic among no possess you with one. Go.
I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, not for long. The future is coming on. Hey, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, not for long. The future is coming on. It's coming on.
We are in the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. Not for the kiddies. Not for the easily offended. That is the hour when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news as of late. So hopefully some of you will stick around. The rest of you should probably go watch or listen to something more family-friendly, maybe a Christmas Carol, maybe a Charlie Brown special. But we're talking right now, just about, you know, strange things. We've been discussing some great gifts, but there are a couple strange stories that I wanted to get to this hour. I don't know if they're kind of strange. Here's a story from Gainesville, Florida. 22-year-old man has been arrested for repeatedly smacking the behind of a horse. Let me clarify, a policeman's horse. Says the man was smacking Rusty the horse at least four times, according to the Gainesville police there. Rusty, who was dressed with visible Gainesville PD patches, moved away from the man after being struck, and the man ran from police when they tried to take him into custody. I mean, I'm presuming there was not an officer on the horse at the time he was smacking the horse on the behind. Says they caught him in a nearby parking lot. They arrested him. He told police that he was afraid the horse was about to knock him over, and that's why he struck him a couple times. So, but the guy's, he's in trouble now in connection with striking or interfering with a police animal. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a no-no. Next story. This is a sad one. This is about a woman. Now, if I'm reading this properly, this woman is originally from Hungary, and she's 407 pounds. And she'd been having a lot of severe health problems. And so she and her husband moved to the United States to get good medical help from some special doctors. But they took a little vacation to go back to Hungary. And she needed to return to see her doctors by a certain time. And it turns out that time and time again, they would not let her get on the airplane because they said she was too heavy. They couldn't fit her. And so she and the husband are trying to find all kinds of different connections with different airlines, and everybody had some excuse for why, you know, she's just too heavy, blah, 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 blah. So she died. She actually died because she could not make her way back to the United States. And so, you know, the airlines that are involved here are saying, well, you know, we offer our sincere condolences, but, you know, she wasn't able to board. We just didn't have the means to accommodate her. Well, you'd think that, I mean, if she made it there, how
did she get over there, and did she not make arrangements for a return trip?
Well, it seems like it was one of those case-per-case deals where, you know, she didn't have any problem going out, but apparently coming back in, the people who were in charge of the airlines on that end of things just weren't accommodating. And, you know, you can tell when you travel to other countries, I mean, there's definitely a different mood in terms of how people, you know, treat you and how you feel as you're going through the airport. And yeah, it's natural. It's a cultural thing. And also, of course, I think that, well, as we saw, Shelley, when we were in Europe earlier this year, there aren't a lot of really heavy people in Europe. Not that we saw.
Not a lot.
And we were in Romania, which is right next to Hungary. And so it's probably a little more uncommon for them to have to deal with really, really heavy people like that also.
Probably so.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, flying has lost any charm it ever had, at least commercial flying, you know, stuffing yourself like a sardine on some airplane. Even aside from the space, just the process of going through, you know, being herded through security and the whole atmosphere, it's to be avoided if you can do it. I know a lot of you are about to travel probably for the holidays. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be the Dark 30 Hour. And, oh, yes, it's pretty wild. We have all kinds of crazy stuff that we're going to be digging into very soon. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and you're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.